Good morning, Metroplex. We have reached the hump day edition.
Hump day?
Hump day?
Of Sean, RJ, and Bobby. We got Peyton in the back. We're live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube as we try to get you to your extended holiday weekend. And we have a ton to get to. Like always, a Texas Rangers ticket giveaway during the 7 o'clock expressway. Former NFL general manager, one of our favorites every year from the Super Bowl, Thomas Dimitroff, Brett Boone at 9 to talk a little baseball, and Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, to talk about the return of CeeDee Lamb to practice. We'll hear from CeeDee, but let's go through the transactions first. We got the final 53, but Peyton Hendershot was not actually released yesterday with the breaking news that we had around 9 a.m. They ended up working out a trade with the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's a conditional one.
Yep, it is a seventh-round pick 2 years from now. It would be the 2026 draft, and you get that pick if Peyton Hendershot is...
Much anticipated, highly anticipated.
Yeah, we're going to be waiting around, right, just kind of, you know, rubbing our hands together, waiting to see what happens with that seventh-round pick.
Best sixth and seventh-rounders in years.
That's what you've been saying for a couple months now. Hendershot will need to be on the 53-man roster for the Chiefs this year for at least 5 games. So that means anywhere on the roster, doesn't have to be active on game day, just 5 games on their 53-man roster, or he has to be active for a game, like on that active 46-man game day roster. He has to be active 3 times this year. If he does, you get a seventh rounder here in Dallas in 2026. It sounds piddly. It's nothing. You weren't getting anything for him, though. So to get anything potentially in return is good. It's somebody you don't have to fight for an undrafted free agency that you may like. You can just pick them.
They got a pick on the same day that they got one for Amari Cooper. I mean, I'll take it.
It was the same day?
Well, like day three.
Oh, day three.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to say that. I thought that happened in like spring.
No, but, no. Yeah. Day three. Day three pick.
Cowboys have set their 53-man roster. What were the notables that 105 Through the Fan put out very early yesterday with the final selections?
Yeah, Deuce Vaughn made the roster, which is something that I think we had figured out at, like, by yesterday. We kind of felt like that was heading that direction when you would hear Jerry talk about Deuce. Ryan Flournoy, the rookie receiver, they keep him. Buddy Johnson, the linebacker, he's on there. The two that were probably the most surprising, Brevin Spanford, who Brian, I think, named, that was the guy when we did the superlatives with Brian the last day who was in Oxnard. He said that was his most disappointing, was Brevin Spanford, because he felt like he was hyped up to be something and ultimately didn't reach that, Brian felt like, when he watched him. And so Spanford making it at tight end is kind of interesting. And then the biggest surprise name, the one I didn't see projected, I don't think, on anybody's rosters that were out there, is they end up keeping Tyrus Wheat, the defensive end, and they cut Carl Lawson, which is something that we had talked about yesterday may be the case, that they might cut Lawson and search somewhere else. So Tyrus Wheat may be guy 53 right now, that as soon as they go find an edge rusher, it may be Wheat that gets trimmed from the roster. But in terms of surprise, Malik Davis gets cut. That's probably the biggest name. And the thing that's more interesting about Davis is the fact that he's probably not even, I don't think he's going to boomerang back here on the practice squad. I think they're done. Really? I think both sides are ready for, you know what, this has been nice, but you can go find a gig somewhere else now.
CeeDee Lamb practicing and talking to the media. Were there any doubts that this was eventually and ultimately going to get done, 88?
Nah, I had no doubt. I had no doubt one bit. But I will say I was getting impatient.
Where were you when you got the word? Were you asleep? Well, I mean, where were
nah,
you?
Nah. I was up. I was literally in the living room talking to my guys. I had my homeboys with me. We were just chatting. Then my agent FaceTimed me. He was actually kind of, it's kind of crazy, because he hit me with yeah, man, this is going south, da 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 da. I'm like, what do you mean it's going south? Like, you know, it's time. Like, and then he hit me, yeah, they're only going to try to pay you $34 a year. You know, I'm like, well, where do I sign?
It was apparently, I think Nick Eatman got the one-on-one exclusive interview, which we'll talk to Nick about at 9:20. He was apparently just glowing. You see the smile, the million-dollar smile already, glowing through the halls of the Ford Center, the Star in Frisco, talking about taking care of all his family and generations to come.
That's what it is. But man, there's it's the FaceTime. I mean, these kids today, like Peyton,
dude.
They all they want to do is FaceTime.
My godson, I was like, hey, I want to check in on you. How are things at Vanderbilt? Happy birthday! And immediately I got the FaceTime.
FaceTime,
and I was like, decline. I'm not. No.
Well, for the agents, I
get Derek Holland. FaceTime.
I get why the agents do it. So the agents,
they want to record the reaction.
They hit a screenshot, and when they post the news of like, so happy for my guy, we got this done. It's always like their face, like they're just like this big smile, and then they'll share like the face, like the screenshot of them FaceTime them telling them.
I haven't seen videos of that reaction.
Yeah, no, a lot. So there's the.
I don't even know how to hit the record on the FaceTime when we're doing it.
Well, you screen record from the top. Like, you got to go.
I have no idea.
Yeah, come on. What are you doing here? How did you not know that, Sean?
Right there, that button right there.
Oh.
That's the screen report.
Okay.
Like my kids, like they'll just FaceTime the friend, and they'll leave the phone on the bed, and it's just pointing up at the ceiling fan.
Yeah.
They'll go 2 hours without talking.
Yes.
And you see just a random kid.
What was the process like for CD during the holdout?
I can't really put it into words, but I tell them I'm grateful to be here every moment of the day. Yeah, like this whole process was very crazy for me, as we all know. Very bittersweet. Enjoyed it all, obviously. Had plenty of times to, you know, revamp myself physically, become more prepared for the season. Granted, I wish I would have had a camp, but it's okay though. It'll work out in the back end, but very excited for the moment. Cherish every bit of it. Shout out my agent. I'm grateful for the whole opportunity. Going back and forth, the phone calls with him. Obviously thanking God every morning. Get the chance to wake up and do what I do. But yeah, man, it was surreal. Loved it. Here we are.
Said he was annoying the crap out of his agent, saying, I'm ready to go back. I'm ready to go back. I've gained the 10 or 15 pounds. Oh, there's the shot of CD's
reaction.
That's
why he's got a FaceTime. He's got to be able to share that social and just be like, look, I knocked it out. I do think it's funny that he would... CD's reference there. I do think it's funny that he'd fake him out a little bit. Like, man, this is not good. You're going to have to get traded, guy. I mean, I don't know what we're going to do here.
See the reaction.
All right. The most important question of all. Thank goodness the media remembered this yesterday. Why did you post the Black Spider-Man? Was it Venom? And thoughts on Jerry's urgency comment. Are we going to get that turned into a T-shirt like Zeke with no urgency? But what's up with the cartoon?
That's my favorite superhero. That's my favorite superhero. Listen, he's entering his villain arc, and I'm coming back for vengeance. So that's what that is. And as far as the comments, I mean, he's entitled to whatever you got to say. As long as we get the deal done, I ain't got nothing.
He's so good, though. I mean, already, it's just some personality. Thank goodness. You're used to all the generic responses, and there's some personality injected back into the football team.
I was thinking the same thing just now. Like when you listen to him give answers, it's like, man, this is so different than everything we've heard for the last month out at Oxnard from anybody else. He's just,
except for Ferguson and Overshown.
Ferguson and Overshown are good. I still feel like CD, there's a directness and there's like an honesty about CD that doesn't exist with most players in the NFL, even guys who are really good interviews. He's sharp. He's willing to say things that are just direct honest. He told us last year at camp, he was like, I started becoming a better interview when I realized just answer their question. Like, just give an honest answer. And if you're honest about things, then, you know, you're generally going to be a good interview.
How long is it going to take for you to get caught back up to speed with the offense?
Quite honestly, I don't think it's going to be a step behind at all. I'm ready. I'm prepared for these moments. I played this game my whole life.
You've been staying ready, but what's the most important thing that you have to do between now and September 8th so that you are sure?
I got to get bumped a little bit. You know, not so much hit, but as I'm running, the nudge. You know what I'm saying? Those are things that you just contact balance. But again, I've trained for those in Fort Lauderdale, or in Davie, excuse me, with Reef. And again, I feel like I'm more prepared than ever.
Talk about yesterday that you had an iPad. How much of the offense are you comfortable with? Or you think you missed anything?
Obviously, it's just the verbiage. They tweaked a couple things. But again, I kept my iPad on me. You know, if we go look at the hours, I'm pretty sure I'm probably even one of the top.
Choppy, he also said he added extra weight, about 15 pounds. Quote, pushing and shoving, I'll be different, but I'll be ready for it. And unlike most of the times when we talk about these things where I added, I'm stronger, best I've ever felt, you can tell. I mean, he's noticeably thicker in this one-on-one with Nick Eatman. What do you think about the effect on his game with extra weight?
I mean, it's I don't know that it's going to have a tremendous effect on the speed. I mean, there'll be a little bit there, but what he may lose in burst quickness, he would make up for in just in power and strength and ability to fight through, fight for the ball up top or fight through a tackle, break a tackle. He's right though. Getting bumped, getting hit, that's the one thing that you would that he would miss from camp. But he's not from being able to recognize what defense to being able to run the routes. That's not going to be a problem. He'll be on time with Dak. I think he's absolutely right. I think it's getting bumped. I think it's getting hit.
Well, yeah, because the biggest thing for him is going to be precision on his routes. Like, I need to be here in this spot in this amount of time. And you can get all that down and you can have that chemistry with Dak. If you're not getting bumped off your route and you don't have that sort of physicality disrupting that rhythm that you're trying to find and get into, that's what you're going to need some reps on and get right again. But putting on that weight, that'll put him probably around, he's around 215 then. If he's put on 15 pounds, it should be around 215, 220, which sounds like a lot to me, but that is, that's the size of DeAndre Hopkins. And Hopkins is who, CeeDee Lamb's comp coming out of college was DeAndre Hopkins.
And I wonder, as you go through the year, will he lose weight during the year?
Probably some. The guys generally don't fluctuate more than about 5 pounds unless you're Mozzie Smith.
I'm looking forward to it. I know everyone was flipping out and going crazy when he fell to them in the draft. The one scouting observation I disagreed with in watching him play was they acted like he was Anquan Boldin breaking tackles. And CD, I would describe him before as wiry. Very wiry, and he still showed a lot of toughness. Like, he came down last year and took some nasty falls and hits, and I'm like, he's not going to play the next series, and he always did. But now I'm really looking forward to seeing the extra power cause him to wreak havoc in yak and breaking tackles, because I didn't really see that while he was playing. Plus, according to Mike McCarthy, it'll help him in the punt return game, help him on special teams with all those returns that he's going to have.
That must be why that 15 pounds is put on, is because he heard Steven's interview where Steven's talking about, oh, we're going to run this dude into the dirt. And he's like, all right, well, I got to build up some more body armor, I guess.
So the deal is done, and the talk with the media is done for now as well. Dalvin Cook looks like he's put on some weight. Clarence Hill reported a Cowboys source said Dalvin Cook was in good shape, but they're only interested in possibly signing him to the practice squad at this point. Cook may have another visit with the Colts. He has some decisions to make.
Yeah, if he leaves Indy, then and returns back to Dallas, I think that's what the Cowboys are waiting on now. How does his visit with Indy go? If he comes back out of there without a deal, then all right, let's talk about putting you on the practice squad. But yeah, not anything where they would. The new era of the practice squad, it sounded back in the day.
It's crazy to think for what we grew up with.
When you were a practice squad guy back in the day, you were a nobody. Now you have veterans who will sign to the practice squad where it's like, okay, I'm basically here and waiting for the injury to happen or whatever else. And so I get my elevation, or waiting to get into shape and then get an elevation. Jason Peters, a future Hall of Famer, signs to the practice squad and gets elevated. You get Brandon Carr came back here as a practice squad guy and got elevated. So it's not as wild as it once sounded. It's kind of a get in shape period, or just a standby period. But it's a fall, though, from 2 years ago being a Pro Bowler to now you're looking at practice squad offers.
But also, just the practice squad in general, it used to be after your third year, you weren't even eligible.
Mm-hmm. Wider eligibility, more spots. Now you have 15 or 10 or 15 instead of the 5 that once existed.
It's I love it because it's kind of the NFL's version of a minor league system, if you want to call it that. It's just like they're out there just waiting.
So that's inside the star. Around the rest of the NFL, an NFC East bad boy is done. Are they finally fixing the statue? And what revenge would you suggest for the Mayo Man? That's Around the NFL with the 6 a.m. Club Hump Day Edition. Hump Day. Just getting started with Sean and RJ. Coming up at 6:40, the Rangers' magic number is 2. It was the second outing for Jake DeGrom. We got Jack Leiter 2.0 today and 2 games because of the rainout yesterday in Chicago. So all that is coming up at 6:40 on your home of the champ, Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Bell.
How long were you waiting? Just waiting for that game to start last night.
I was watching Connor Stallions and the Michigan documentary just so I could talk about it with Kevin Hagelin, who spoiled everything without watching it. But it was very, very good. I actually can't wait to talk about it. I need to carve out a good 15 minutes somewhere.
Is he a quick preview? Is he a sympathetic figure at all, or does he come off like a total jackass?
In the beginning, a little bit sympathetic, and then he comes across a little bit as a jackass, eating up the attention, wanting the attention, getting caught in a few lies well. What?
He's me, wanting the attention and just starving for it.
And tell us about because you just interrupted me trying to explain what I was talking about. So now explain how you're a liar since you...
I didn't say a liar.
Oh, you just said he's you.
Because yeah.
There's your lesson. Shut up. Drink your C4. 877-881-1053. RJ Choppy is just inundating me. I'm loving it with NFL story here and there. So we're going to have to go around the NFL as NFL bad boy. Kadarius Toney is gone again. The Kansas City Chiefs said, bye-bye.
Bye.
We're going to trade for Peyton Hendershot. Kadarius Toney, you are done. So that makes it 0-2, Giants, and now the Chiefs.
Right. And now it's like someone will pick him up.
Ian Rappaport, who must have a connection with his agent, said the talented playmaker story is not done yet. So that's the agent saying, yeah, but we got like 5 teams lined up. We got people ready to go.
They drew a line in the sand yesterday. The Chiefs did. They said, we will not stand for this anymore. Yeah. We're cutting Kadarius Toney.
We don't care if you beat kids. We don't care if you do, you know, have your dad with 3 DUIs. And we don't care about this and domestic violence accusations. But if you line up wrong.
Damn it.
If you line up wrong past the marker, you gots to go.
And Kelvin Joseph got cut from the Chiefs yesterday. So he's back on the street. He never really left the streets if you watch CCTV footage from around Dallas. this is Kadarius Toney is one of the like prime examples of the last 3 or 4 years of a guy who's just like, man, he's got all the ability to be really, really special. Like when you saw him his rookie year, he did stuff early on with the Giants that made you think, oh, this could be Tyreek Hill light.
He put it on us.
Yeah, he put up like 190 against them before he got ejected from that game for punching Trayvon Diggs in the face. In fact, if you just go back and watch that game, that's a great encapsulation of Kadarius Toney, where it's just like, oh, you see all the flashes, and then it's like, oh, but he got thrown out of the game because he's an idiot. Like, he's a hothead. He is a low IQ player. He is a low IQ player. He's a problem off the field. He's a problem in the locker room. He was getting in fights at Chiefs training camp. Tons of talent, unique talent, stuff that's rare to find in the NFL. And
that's
he's just
why he'll
blown
keep
it.
Getting jobs.
That's why he'll keep getting opportunities.
Yeah.
He won't
sooner or later.
He won't get too many more. He might have 2 left.
That's still 4 chances is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's still something that, you know, you don't get that if you're not a first-round pick for the most part.
The Commanders are finally trying to fix the Sean Taylor statue.
Remember? Dan Snyder leaves.
Yeah.
Dan Snyder leaves, and all of a sudden, things start to get rectified in Washington.
It's like so, he was the problem.
It's almost as if he was the problem.
2 years after the mannequin that came out. Right,
man.
The Oshman's display.
They went to Dick's Sporting Goods, picked up a mannequin, and said, "Here we go. Let's put a jersey. Let's slap a jersey and a helmet on this, and let Jackson Mahomes dance on the number. And we'll call it a day." So that's what they're going to rectify this, and they are actually going to build a real statue to honor Sean Taylor, like you said, 2 years after that mannequin.
And fans pointed out, here were the problems with the initial one: failed to include the proper jersey, Reebok instead of Nike. They did not apply pieces of tape all over his face mask like he did while he was playing. So the fans went nuts. Proper use of socks and cleats. I guess they messed that up as well. So they informed the Taylor family, yeah, we're removing it and we're going to go ahead and put up something nicer.
What when they make that decision, is that Snyder being cheap or is that someone in Washington who just thought it was like an artistic choice. Like, oh yeah, like this will be a little artsy. It'll be different. We'll do, and just didn't realize this is going to look so stupid.
I just think you have certain people, and this can apply to billionaires, who are just so out of touch.
Mm.
They're just so out of touch with what they decide and what they unveil. And maybe this was an aspect of being cheap as well. Anything, nothing can be put past Dan Snyder.
Which was more egregious? The statue or the display from Dick's Sporting Goods, like Chop says, for Sean Taylor, or when they had like five misspellings on Kobe's statue that they put outside of Staples Center or Crypto Arena?
Oh, Sean Taylor, not even close. The Sean Taylor.
Yeah, because
that was other players in the box score.
Like, it was other players in the box score, and I mean,
if they spelled Kobe's name wrong,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they spelled it C-O-B-Y.
Yeah.
Like, that's a problem. Because, like, you know, they obviously had to farm that out to somebody else. It was a third. Jeannie Buss didn't go out there and carve the statue herself.
That was, I know a few people in Washington, that was so offensive. That was so offensive to people tied to that organization who knew Sean Taylor. Because Sean Taylor, Jerome Brown, there's like a handful of people in NFL history who, like, it's still tough for people to this day who knew them to talk about them because of how it ended.
We're talking about cut down day. I saw this little note, keeping it in the NFC East. The Commanders drafted 7 players in 2023, and 5 of them were cut yesterday.
Oh, no.
So 5 of the 7 out of the draft class, gone. Talking about more purging in Washington.
Are you embarrassed?
This is what happens. You get new administration there. When you get new front office people, new offensive coordinator, new head coach, new defensive coaches, you're not going to, you lose sponsors. That's the line Brian loves to use about guys on this roster whenever somebody's Dan Quinn left and lost a sponsor. Mike Zimmer's in here now, and he may have different ideas. When you change everybody, yeah, you're going to see quick purges. That's why a lot of times teams across the NFL, whenever they're looking to add something, if they feel like they're deficient in an area, one of the first places they look is who just swapped everybody out. Who swapped everybody out? Where can we get good value? Because they just don't like somebody that everybody else likes.
Oh, wait, did you say this was this year's draft class?
23.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. 2023. I was saying, like, that would be super egregious for it to be this year's draft class to only keep 5 of the guys.
Let's
2 of the guys.
Segue into this year's draft class as you're keeping an eye on a lot of the rookie quarterbacks, Choppy.
The rookie quarterbacks, I was thinking to myself, of all the rookie quarterbacks this year, which ones have done the best, but also have the best chance to make it? And I love what Denver did by making Bo Nix the starter.
From the great Sean Payton.
There's two things that Sean Payton has done this offseason that I love. First of all, as he said, that sacks are a quarterback stat, which I'm glad he listens to the show. Glad he told us. And then two, he made Bo Nix the starter. I do think Bo is the most ready of the quarterbacks that were in this draft class from one standpoint.
Now, you felt that watching him in college and coming out?
He had, like, when he was at Auburn, there was call, it was all, it was the old say, it was road Bo and home Bo. Like, he could not play road games.
Yeah.
And then he goes to Oregon and he got a little bit better. But, you know, he set the record for the most college starts. He has 60. And one of the things Parcells used to talk about was he wanted a guy, a quarterback, who played like 3 years because he wanted to see a ton of plays. And not really until like Cam Newton did you see somebody like just jump, play 1 year, and then go right to the NFL and really dominate at the quarterback position almost right away. It's still one of those things that we started to see more of it. But 60 starts for Bo Nix. And I think that he is going to be able to run exactly what Sean Payton wants, because I think that's part of what Sean Payton needs is somebody who's a smart quarterback who's seen all these defenses, who's able to make the checks to the line that he needs to make.
It's the guys like Nix are going, especially if Nix does have success, you're going to see more deference to quarterbacks that do have the bigger body of work. Because when you look at, like you mentioned, the 1 year starter stuff, NFL teams nowadays, there's two players that have terrified them, scared them off of inexperienced quarterbacks at college. Again, it's Trey Lance and it's Mitch Trubisky. Those two, they thought they nailed, and then they get up here and they're like, crap, we can't see much at all. There's some coaches, some scouts who refuse. If you play a season or less at the college level, if you were a starter for a season or less, there's some people that's like, I refuse to take that player, or I won't take that player in the first round or the first two rounds because I can't know. I don't know what they are.
And then I thought Bill Simmons brought up a very, very intriguing point about your offensive line for a rookie quarterback if it's Drake May in New England.
Right, because their offensive line is not good, and it already got Jacoby Brissett kind of banged up in a preseason game with a shoulder. Now, they said he would have played if it was a regular season game, but they were like, let's just get him out of here. But Bill Simmons tweeted that like there's no way that he starts Drake May behind this offensive line. Mm-hmm. Like, let Jacoby go out there and
get murdered.
Get murdered. Let him be the sacrificial lamb. Because they moved on from Bailey Zappe. You know, they cut. He was part of cutdown day. So let him go out there. And I mean, that's one way to do it. The problem is that Jerod Mayo didn't keep his mouth shut. He already told the world that Drake May is outplaying him. So now you're going to tell the world that Drake May is outplaying you, and then you're going to start the second best quarterback week one.
So we've always disagreed on this, debated throwing the kid out there, and I have always been hesitant over the possibility of scarring them and destroying them. Where do you fall on it?
I think it was a bigger issue 15 years ago or further. 10, 15 years ago, bigger issue. Today, with a lot of the concepts that have carried over from the college game where you get college coaches who are elevated here, the learning curve isn't as sharp, and a lot of these guys are walking into concepts that they know and can operate within. And so,
but concepts aside, this is an offensive line. This is a ghost.
But if you're talking, but scarring somebody, for instance, like generally that comes from mental processing, can't do it fast enough. They're getting hit a bunch because they can't get the ball out. They don't know what they're doing. Even with a poor offensive line, when you know the scheme, you know how to get the ball out. You know how to recognize the rush. It's you're not having to account for other things that you're, you know, the cerebral part of it that's taking away a lot of your mental process.
Are you advocating for the Rattler to take out your boy in New Orleans?
I am advocating for Spencer Rattler. All right. No? Are you out?
I hate Spencer Rattler. I know. Awful prospect.
No. Awful he's a great prospect.
Or person?
No, he was in all both. I did not like Rattler. You know who liked Rattler? The Cowboys. The Cowboys thought Spencer Rattler was good.
So, but like, yeah, okay, for pure prospect standpoint, isn't he carved out of stone? Like, this is what you would make a quarterback?
No, I would not. How tall is he? I would not make a quarterback 6'1 with awful footwork who throws off his back foot all the time.
But from rocket arm, good arm.
He's basically his biggest thing is he throws with a lot of zip.
Yeah. So, great name, good arm. Anyway, the point is that Derek Carr. I like Derek Carr. Derek Carr's he's fine. But he's the worst possible thing for a franchise because he's just good enough to not let you be bad enough to get another player. You are not winning the Super Bowl with Derek Carr as your quarterback. Now you might win the division. And Dennis Allen needs to win. He'll be run.
Yeah.
He'll get fired if they don't make the playoffs this year, most likely. This is where the GM has to come in and say, dude, Dennis, getting another year extension. Start the kid. I'll trade Derek Carr. We'll put him on the bench. We'll let him be the backup. But start the kid.
How did Jake DeGrom do? What will Jack Leiter do? And the Rangers play to on the home of the World Series champs? That's next with Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
As the 0-2. And Hosey will wave at this pitch in the dirt. DeGrom, a second strikeout tonight. Six up, six down.
Two innings, no hits. 2 Ks, 24 pitches, 16 of them for strikes, and he hit 99 on the gun again. Good morning, Metroplex. This is your home of the Rangers, where they will play two today, starting at 4 o'clock and then 7 o'clock on DFW Sports Station. Apparently, the Round Rock bullpen gave him a standing ovation when he got back, and then he went to throw more pitches in the pen to build up the stamina. So, RJ Choppy threw two starts. Jacob DeGrom's rehab line is 4 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 5 strikeouts, a 2.25 ERA. I didn't even realize he had given up anything.
Man.
A little disappointing.
It's all coming together. 22-9 down the stretch. It's going to happen.
Oh, so what? Then the 2 games right under 500?
Sneak right into the playoffs.
That's what's coming, yeah.
That's what's coming, baby.
You saying
maybe even, not even to maybe 24-7.
Him giving up a run is like, that feels a little disappointing. I was honestly kind of thinking the same thing when I saw this morning that it was like 2 strikeouts and 2 innings. I'm like, couldn't you blow away like more than a strikeout per inning? These are AAA guys, DeGrom. Yeah. Come on. What are you doing here? Jack Leiter could even do that.
Absolutely,
Kumar,
yes.
Why are you not on their level?
So DeGrom shining again, and let's see what happens with Jack Leiter tonight as he is back.
Let's do it. All right, this is the time. Like, this is extended spring training. All joking aside, all 24-6 record or whatever it is. Yeah, it's not going to happen. Now just find what you got with some of these guys. Give these guys time to pitch, you know, with Leiter or even DeGrom if they actually do want to bring him up. Whatever. This is the time for that. This is not the time to I've seen enough of Andrew Heaney. Or, you know,
who's had a nice year.
Great. Yeah, he really has. He's done well. Even Bradford,
I was thinking of Bradford.
Yeah, he'll be a part of things, but this is the time to let somebody else just get out there and throw. You're not trying to necessarily win these games.
No, not at this point. At this point, you're just trying to find stuff to build on and try and salvage like optimism for 25 is what it honestly feels like you're fighting for, what you're playing for at this point. That's how I would look at this. That's the only thing left that you really have is building guys.
So Leiter's going to start, and then Evan Grant with the headline, the possibility grows that Max Scherzer has thrown his last pitch with the Rangers.
That's the other thing. Like, even if he could come back and throw, like, are you the only reason to pitch Max Scherzer at this point over a Leiter or something like that would be to sell some tickets, to see somebody who wants to go pay to see Max Scherzer pitch before he retires, you know, or before he's no longer a Ranger. That's really like, right, because you're not competing for anything at this point. So like, that's the only reason, and that I don't know. That seems kind of like a flawed reason.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, as much as it hurts to say it, and as much as people tried to push back on it last year, Sean, you said it last week. Like, this still, like, the reality is it's not a baseball town, and so.
Whoa.
I don't know that there's a lot of people who are even if they find out oh, this is the end for Max Scherzer. How many more tickets do you think you're selling? Maybe 100 in this city?
Fair. Maybe. That's fair. Like, it's not. We've seen it. I mean, there's games where Shohei has been here and it wasn't a sellout. Like, that's fair.
So I want to ask Bassick at 940 what two major differences he wants to see in Leiter. And I think one of them is going to be about his pulse, that hopefully he's a lot calmer and more chill, not going crazy before the game, pounding energy drinks. I'm throwing that out there as a joke. I don't know if he did, but he looked like it in the dugout.
Yeah, he did. He needs Bobby's Adderall that brings you down.
Yes.
Honestly, yeah. Which, I mean, I'm Jack Leiter today because I've got the energy drink instead.
Give him the non-stimulant. Give him what you're going to give kids. Give him the non-stimulant.
Blake Snell defends Scott Boras against Jordan Montgomery as Jordan Montgomery came across as blaming Boras for his awful season where he has been demoted to the Arizona bullpen.
Yeah, which Blake Snell is probably the best advocate to be able to speak to this. Like, if you're Scott Boras and saying, I need somebody to come to my defense, the best example would be Blake Snell, who is represented by Scott Boras and has had the same sort of issue as Jordan Montgomery. Took a long time for him to get a deal. Finally got one done. He told media on Sunday, my experience with Scott has been great. He told me everything that was happening, all the offers I got. So for him to just get bashed for what I believe is false, that's not fair at all. I really strongly believe that. You jump down a little bit in talking about Jordan Montgomery. He said, I've seen how he struggled, but he signed the deal that he ultimately wanted to sign. He has the choice. I don't know what other deals he was offered, but I know everything that was offered to me. It's just sad that he thinks that way when I see Scott as a very honorable man.
Montgomery sounds bitter over Boston. Like, in that media session, he's, I know we had a Zoom call with Boston. I thought it went well. And you had kept talking about the Red Sox the entire time.
Well, the thing with the Boston is that, you know, his wife is she was in a residency in Boston. It made perfect sense. He was training in Boston in the offseason. Nobody goes to Boston in the wintertime voluntarily. And he was there. He obviously wanted to be there. But Jordan Montgomery has to blame Jordan Montgomery's mouth for continuing to shovel food into it all offseason. Okay, that's what Jordan Montgomery needs to do. Because Blake Snell started out like crap this year.
Yep.
Okay, and in Blake Snell's last 55 and a third innings, he's allowed 8 earned runs.
Wow.
He's allowed 8 earned runs in the last 55 and a third innings, which, by the way, speaks to how amazing Oral Hershiser was at his 55 innings where he allowed zip, which is just insane. But, like, come on, man. Like, Blake Snell obviously has turned it around in the second half. He got hurt. He got slow start. Then he got dinged up in June, came back, basically post All-Star break, and has been lights out.
Rangers missed a lot this offseason. Rangers made a lot of misevaluations this year. They deserve credit, and we probably haven't mentioned enough. They deserve a lot of credit for just saying, we're not going to do the Jordan Montgomery thing, no matter how romantic everybody feels about what he did last October.
But Jordan would probably come back and say, no, if you gave me the deal I wanted and I had the prep that I usually have, I wouldn't have had this season. He's making it sound like he's blaming the late start.
Look, he can absolutely say that he got a late start and that was a cause.
Yeah.
But, like...
Fix it.
Yeah, like you're a major leaguer, man. You've been in this league for a long time. You've got money. Derek Holland is he goes out to ballparks and he throws bullpens 2-3 times a week. During COVID, he was done all the time. He would bring former major leaguers that live here, or minor leaguers or current ones, and they would catch. They would step into the box. I mean, he had me stand in the box for crying out loud.
Wow. I don't know if Jordan Montgomery's trading CeeDee Lamb in the offseason.
You can do that. You're a major leaguer. This is your job. This is what you have to be ready. You knew you were a free agent. You knew the season was coming. Do they keep opening day a secret? Do they not tell you when it is?
Baseball, it's
like
Aaron Rodgers.
Baseball publicizes.
I know. Stuff. I mean, no, it's already out for next year. They already put it out for next year.
Another Boeing nightmare with this story that took over the news yesterday.
This is very scary. Now, this is one of those things that's more of a PR blunder for Boeing than actually part of the current recent problems, because this is a 757, and those planes haven't been made in 25 years. This is way before all the problems started, but a tire exploded at Atlanta's Hartsfield Airport. Busiest airport in the world, and it exploded. 2 dead, 1 seriously injured. And they are trying to figure out what happened. It took place at the maintenance facility at 5 a.m. It was just sitting there, and the tire just explodes, killing the 2 Delta employees and leaving another airline worker badly injured, according to USA Today. And
what happens from that explosion, how close you are in terms of what it does to you and how far away you have to be when that thing pops?
I assume they were all under the plane, right? And working on it, because it was in the maintenance hangar. But the photo of this tire is just a mangled mess. And you could see that shrapnel must have just flown everywhere.
Oh my God.
Scary.
Choppy, this next story is created. You could not make up. AI could not generate a story better than this for you.
Yeah, this is you're going to be an expert on this one, because this combines your two loves, California and the health of grass.
All right.
San Diego, a homeless veteran in San Diego who was referred to as the bubble man by locals because he's just... He has a big, thing of bubbles, and he blows them all around the park and works for tips that way. And children love him and families love being around him. Well, he is being held back. Just when you thought California couldn't be any more bat-ass, you know what, Jared Sandler. They have said, hold my beer. And park rangers in San Diego ticketed this homeless veteran for liquid littering because they say the bubbles that he's blowing in the park, the bubbles pop. The liquid falls to the ground, and then the grass in the park is damaged in the aftermath. And so this guy was actually cited and is going to have to pay a fine and is no longer, according to park rangers, allowed to blow bubbles in the San Diego park shop. So how do you fight this? You're Mr. Yard work and lawn care. Is this a legitimate reason?
So if I don't have time to go to the store and buy weed killer, I'll just use dish soap and vinegar, and I'll use that and spray. So soap can damage the... Sure, it could damage weeds. Grass is a weed.
Peyton, did you solve...
Kids have been doing this for years, blowing bubbles.
Did you solve your lawn issue with the neighbor, the zigzagging that RJ was not here to help you with?
It looked like a straight line the other day. They mowed on, what was that, Monday? Yeah, a couple days ago, Monday. Yeah, RJ, last week, my neighbor is mowing zigzags in my yard. an angle, not going
at
straight
the edge.
Up. Yeah,
at the edge. At the connection.
Just getting
point.
A little lazy there at the end. I was like, okay, it seems a little like.
Did
an
you
issue
say
here.
Something to him?
No, I didn't say anything. I've never come in contact with them, but I was like, you know, is this a big issue that I should make? Should I go knock on the door and say something or wait for it to happen over and over again?
Ooh.
And this guy, he waters his lawn 4 to 5 times a week. This guy's always got the sprinklers
okay.
on.
Okay. That's a good yard.
Perfect yard.
My yard is looking the greenest of the neighborhood, and I don't know whether just because I have the newest grass or I'm watering too much.
Doesn't Ollie like bubbles, though? Like, yeah. Doesn't he? So, I mean, that's clearly not affected your yard.
Well, because I have a humongous backyard patio.
It's not on grass.
Yeah, so it's slippery.
So it's slippery with all the soap.
I have a broken neck over weeds, as you guys will find out Sunday.
That might be the most Orwellian phrase I've heard yet, though. Liquid littering.
Liquid
Here's your ticket
littering.
For liquid littering. Wow.
877-881-1053. In order to hit us up on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line, early YouTube shout-outs to Wayne, Clifford, Kid Cowboy, Gregory, Roy Smith, Brian Miller, and Pick and Pop. Shout out to Twitch, where we want you guys to win our Texas Rangers ticket giveaway. I know they're struggling, season done, but it's still cool to head on out there to the new stadium, Texas Live, and everything else. So we're going to send you to Arlington around the corner during the commercial-free expressway. Former NFL GM Thomas Dimitroff at 8 o'clock. But what does CeeDee Lamb know about Dak Prescott's deal maybe getting done next? And a former Cowboy in trouble and suspended at Oklahoma. All that around the corner with Sean and RJ.